Slavery is back.
Welcome to a place where private business profit from a captive labour force, yet pennies are spent on medical services to a population in which the Indigenous, the poor and the mentally ill are overrepresented. Where isolation, humiliation and degradation are facts of life. Welcome to prison.
It depends who's telling the story, I suppose. The prisoners would have one view, the people who work in the prison system would have another, and I think it's up to people to decide where the truth is.
Give government propaganda and the media spin doctors the flick, and check out Doin' Time for news, views and tunes on prison issues from Guantanamo Bay to Christmas Island to prisons and detention centres everywhere, every Monday at 4 p.m. on your community radio, 3CR.
We are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Doin' Time Show. This is 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on the dial, streaming live on www.3cr.org.au. And a warning that this episode of Doin' Time contains audio images of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have died, discussion of deaths in custody, and detention of asylum seekers and refugees. This is Marissa, and I'll be with you for the next hour. This week's show starts off with an interview with David Glance from the Refugee Action Collective, who will give us an update on a major anti-racism forum entitled Unite to Fight Racism, End the Scapegoating of Refugees and Migrants Welcome. After that, we will hear from Brett Collins from Justice Action about patient-centred external support for prisoners, who will talk to us about a submission that Justice Action has prepared for the annual Healthcare Insecure Settings Conference, exploring the field of healthcare in custodial and forensic mental health settings. This must-attend conference will take place on Thursday the 30th and Friday the 31st of July 2026. And indeed, the forum, the anti-racist forum, took place, I believe, on the 25th of February. RAC called a major anti-racism meeting entitled Unite to Fight Racism, End the Scapegoating, Refugees and Migrants Welcome, just to give you that title again. And shortly, we'll be crossing over to David Glance.
Come to the Degrowth Festival on Sunday the 22nd of March from 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. Building community and resilience. Let's create the world we want by practicing it now together. Sing, dance, picnic under the trees, and check out the dozens of stalls, workshops and talks. The 2026 Degrowth Festival, Curtin Square, Carlton. Search for Degrowth Festival 2026 on Humanitix for more details and to register. The Degrowth Festival is a 3CR supporter.
You're listening to the Doin' Time Show, 3CR Community Radio. And before I actually welcome David, I also wanted to let listeners know that I forgot to mention, and this is terribly important, that we will be playing some audio from the recent Invasion Day rally that happened in January 2026, and playing some audio from that, and I'll explain later. So just to launch into the introduction, Unite to Fight Racism, and basically One Nation is on the rise and the far right are mobilising on the streets. Racists are scapegoating refugees and migrants for government cutbacks and the housing crisis. And it's never been more important to build a fight against racism. So I'm delighted to welcome David, and he will speak to us about that, about the forum that took place at Trades Hall. Hello, David.
Hi, Marissa. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, thanks. It's been a bit of a tough start to the year with all this, everything going on, isn't it?
It's been the most frantic couple of months I can remember of any summer for many, many years. It feels like the people who supposedly run our system are running amok.
Absolutely, it's crazy. So, David, could you tell us a little bit of background and perhaps give us an update about not only about what happened at the forum and who the speakers were, but also perhaps going a step further and talking about the climate of fear and, you know, a lot of things that are happening, you know, politically as well.
Yeah, for sure. So the forum came about because I think as a response to two things, the March for Australia rallies that have taken place several times now on our streets, bringing the far right out on the streets, and also, of course, the rise in popularity in the opinion polls of One Nation. So Refugee Action Collective called an anti-racism rally in September last year, and we had a decent turn-up for that. We had 500 people at that rally, and we felt that we needed to bring people together to talk about the issues in a bit more depth than you can do at a rally. So we organised the forum, which took place on Wednesday last week. And I'm delighted to say that 200 people turned up. We had 9 amazing speakers. Because of that, we weren't able to take discussion from the floor. But it was, I think, it was a useful trade-off because we heard some excellent speeches. We heard a lot about lived experience of racism from Senator Lydia Thorpe and a Tamil speaker and an Indian speaker and from Muslim speakers. We also heard people putting forward their views on what we can do next. And I think this was all pulled together by the Refugee Action Collective, and the chair of the forum made this point that while we have to stand up to Hanson, we have to stand up to the far right, these racist ideas are being pushed from the top. They're being pushed by both Labor and Coalition, and those two major parties are creating a space for the likes of Hanson to make racism respectable again. And so we can't just focus on Hanson. We have to focus on the way, for instance, that the federal government has created a deportation regime, which, although it's still in miniature at the moment, looks potentially just as vicious as anything ICE has come up with in the United States. And I think
very, very vicious. David, are you able to get a little bit closer to the phone? Have you put yourself on speaker or something? That's it. Thank you.
All right. I apologise.
No, you sound great. Let's keep going. Awesome.
So we heard from this array of speakers, and at the end of the meeting voted on 2 motions, the motions of sentiment rather than motions that were binding. And the motions were that if March for Australia or similar group organise on the streets again, that we would organise a broad-based counter-rally. And I think it's important that broad-based counter-rallies include people from the union movement as well as from migrant communities, refugees, people from the Labor Party and the Greens. And the other thing was the meeting voted to support a rally that RAC has called on Saturday, March the 21st. So that's in 3 weeks' time. It's called Rally Against Racism, Scrap Labor's Trump-style deportation laws. And that will be on Saturday the 21st at 2 o'clock at the State Library. And we felt it was important to point the finger at what Labor is doing around deportations, because when Labor says it's okay to snatch people off the streets and deport them, it makes it so much easier for Pauline Hanson and her supporters to say, well, if you think we should do that, let's do it on an even bigger scale. So the problem starts with the Labor government, and we will be organising that rally on the 21st of March.
And that's on a Saturday, is it?
That's a Saturday at the State Library. I think another element of this argument, which did come up at the forum last week, was the disgraceful way that the Albanese government has turned its back on women and children in camps in Syria, and it's overwhelmingly children. The Prime Minister himself has led the charge to say that these people who are Australian citizens are not welcome in Australia. And the problem is, how does Albanese take on Hanson when she says there are no good Muslims, when he's telling the Australian public that children are too dangerous to bring into this country because they're Muslim? It's a terrible concession to a racist argument, and I'm pleased to say that that point was made on Wednesday night.
That's commendable. And indeed, so Lydia Thorpe spoke, did she? The independent Lydia, Victorian Senator, First Nations woman Lydia Thorpe spoke, is that right?
Yes, she led off the forum. She was the first speaker and spoke about how institutionalised racism is, even as she puts it, in her workplace, meaning Parliament. And she said it's actually the most racist workplace that she's ever had to work in, and that the threats that have been made against her as a black woman have not been taken in any way seriously enough. But when somebody phoned in a bomb threat for the lodge, the Prime Minister was evacuated and everybody was very concerned. And yes, I mean, rightly so, but there are countless examples of particularly black women, but people of colour in Parliament being threatened, abused, harassed, and with very little outcome.
Yes, that's very true. And then, of course, you had Rafi Bathlett, who's a Tamil refugee, and I've heard her speak at quite a few rallies. She's really amazing, actually, and she brought some lived experience herself.
I shouldn't play favourites, but for me, Radhi's speech was absolutely the standout of the night. She obviously talked from lived experience of being a refugee who was denied a permanent visa until very recently. And importantly, she reminded everybody that refugees are not simply passive victims. They are people who can take action in their own name and on their own behalf. And she reminded everybody how in 2024, refugees carried out actions on the street outside government offices and MPs' offices for 100 days, and that led to the government blinking and slowly but certainly granting permanent visas to people like herself. But she also reminded us that there are people who didn't qualify for permanent visas according to the way the government was operating. And so there are still people today who are legitimate refugees but are on temporary visas, bridging visas, and never knowing when they may be kicked out of the country. So she inspired us with her resilience. She inspired us with the fight back, with the victory, and warned us that we need to keep that kind of struggle alive.
And then, of course, we had someone from Hindus for Human Rights Australia. Is that right?
Yes, she was absolutely excellent, and obviously she took up the hypocrisy around so much of the talk around migrants, and talked about her experience as an Indian migrant. And then, you know, to run through the list, we had a Muslim speaker, we had a Jewish speaker, we had a speaker from Labour Friends of Palestine, and we had both a Greens MP, state MP, and a Labour state MP. So it was a very powerful platform, and I think people came away buoyed that we can bring together diverse forces, different voices, that we can talk to each other constructively and civilly, and certainly the Refugee Action Collective hopes that this will be the basis for further collaboration. And we'll invite everybody who was at that meeting to come to our rally on Saturday, the 21st of March.
And, yeah, that would great. That would be great. So hopefully listeners can rock up to that. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you as well, and perhaps this is interconnected, David, in regards to, I believe there was this person cannot be named, of course, there was an Afghan refugee that was deported?
I believe this person you're referring to was actually that the deportation was stopped, but the case is pretty horrific. As he's an Afghan, he came here on a valid visa, sought asylum. His brother and his brother's family are here as citizens. He obviously was in danger if he was deported back to Afghanistan. And luckily, refugee activists were able to act, force the government into granting an emergency hearing. And although he was on the verge of being deported, I believe the process is now underway, at least for him to be in Australia for the foreseeable future. But it's a sign of how the Labor government is becoming tougher and tougher. I think they may think that this is preventing their supporters from going off and flirting with One Nation, but I think what it does is encourages the racism of One Nation. It encourages the idea that actually we should be so-called tough on migrants and refugees and asylum seekers. And so it's a shocking reminder that we all thought things would be better when we got rid of Scott Morrison and Peter Dutton. And for too many people, the world has not got better at all. And that's why we keep on fighting. And the rally on the 21st will say refugees and migrants are welcome here and we should stop the racist scapegoating and fund services, housing and communities.
Exactly. David, thank you so much for coming onto the program. I felt like it was really important to invite you to really talk about, you know, the forum, and I'm actually going to try and get some audio. I believe it was recorded, and we'll see if we can play that at some stage. But,
yes.
You know, the reason why I asked you about the Afghan refugee, and I know that's been stopped, is just to give an example to listeners about, you know, in terms of, you know, who is being deported, you know, and that it is happening unfairly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, rather than saying to someone who arrives here and seeks asylum, okay, explain your case to us. We know that you're running from a tyrannical regime. The response is to actually treat them as a problem. And let's remember, at the same time as there was the risk of this Afghan man being deported to the Taliban, the Australian government is saying that Trump is right to bomb Iran because they are religious dictators. Now, they are, but if you're going to take a stand against religious dictatorship in Iran, then why are you sending people back to a religious dictatorship in Afghanistan? I think we should operate on the basis of treating people running for their lives with respect and compassion.
Indeed, there does need to be respect and compassion. I mean, from what I can see here, and this is actually a media release put out by the Refugee Action Coalition, this Labor tried to forcibly deport this Afghan asylum seeker to Iran.
Well, I think that that compounds the problem, doesn't it?
Mm.
I mean, they want to send somebody to Iran where he probably would then be deported back to Afghanistan.
Correct.
Iran is apparently such an evil place that it's okay for the United States and Israel to bomb it. Now, I have no sympathy whatsoever for the Iranian regime, but I think the point here is the hypocrisy of the Australian Labor government that would send somebody into danger at the hands of a regime that they themselves say is a despicable regime. All of this in order to score points and look tough to One Nation supporters.
Exactly, and I think what is also a national disgrace is that Labor has been doing boat turnarounds at sea as well as doing airport visa cancellations.
Yes, there's a report in the latest bulletin from the Caldor Centre at the University of New South Wales, that there have been I assume they're boats, two sets of interceptions, and people have either been deported on the spot or they've been sent to Nauru. And there are more than 100 people, as far as we know, held because of the Australian government on the island of Nauru, which is a tiny island in the South Pacific, no bigger than Tullamarine Airport. And Australia, the Australian government uses it as a dumping ground for people who they find inconvenient at the expense of human rights.
Exactly. David, thank you so much for coming onto the program. I'll be interviewing Brett Collins from Justice Action next, who's going to be talking about some horrific things that are happening to prisoners. David, it's been lovely to have you on the program.
Okay, many thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye.
Forests are essential ecosystems, mitigating for climate breakdown, cooling the planet, and preserving the wondrous diversity of life. Yet, they are being destroyed at an alarming rate. Here in the Kulin Nations, logging continues, increasing risk of both fires and floods. The Bob Brown Foundation is calling a national day of action, the March in March for Forests. In Naam, join us on Sunday, the 22nd of March at 11 a.m. in Parliament Gardens to demand the protection for native forests. Go to marchforforests.org for all the details, including how to volunteer. March for Forests, Sunday, the 22nd of March at 11 a.m.
A 3CR supporter.
You're listening to the Doin Time show, and it's approximately 4:21. And next up, we're going to be speaking with Brett Collins from Justice Action. Justice Action is an advocacy group for prisoners, and it's a non-profit community organisation that advocates for the rights of prisoners and involuntary mental health patients. It was founded in 1979, and the organisation's had a lot of impact on the development of Australian criminal justice policy. And their work led to the development of the Prisoners Legal Service in 1979 and the Australian Prisoners Union in 1999. And today the group provides representation to people locked up in prisons and hospitals, with an emphasis on cases that deal with abuses of power and the human rights of incarcerated prisoners. Hey, Brett, how are you going?
Yeah, hey, Marissa, wow. It makes me feel shudder with anticipation and expectations when people hear that we've been doing all that work. if only we'd succeeded in all the
Brett.
Stuff we're doing. Oh, I'm
Well, Justice Action has done a lot. I mean, look, you know, you've done access to educational programs for prisoners and patients, visitation rights for women prisoners. You've done so much.
Yeah, look, okay. Look, I'm very proud of what we are doing, and it is totally good. But quite honestly, you know, I'm a long-term ex-prisoner. You know, I was in there 10 years inside, and out of a 17-year sentence. So, I know the system well. I've been working with the system, you know, ever since. But quite honestly, looking at what's happening, it's worse. It's worse than it was when I was in the 70s. And I'm monitoring what's happening all the time, doing battles in all different directions. Our strength really is the fact that we're holding a line. We have a stance. We're an ex-prisoner organisation, and no one's paying us any money, so we can take unpopular positions, and we take them on. And so that's really our job. And we're proud to do it, you know. So, I shudder when I think about, you know, all the work we have to do, right? And it is.
You don't worry, you've done well. But Brett, tell us about the submission that you've written for the conference. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, look, absolutely. Look. One of the if you're going to talk about accomplishments we've created, then we've had two world firsts. interests, right? They're really significant. And both are in behind the entitlement of people in detention to have access to telecommunications, to break down the isolation of imprisonment. So what we're really looking for is we're looking for, you know, the 50,000 people who are currently in detention to be part of our working with us, you know, the army. We want them in. And so really, all the work we're doing really is in behind getting computers into cells, access to telecommunications, people talking for themselves. And also in this situation, we're talking about access to health, access to health counselling. So we can have people's own doctors. Own support counsellors can be then with them, but online in their cells. So that's really what this issue is about. And we've had a battle win behind this particular woman.
Tell us about that battle. What's going on?
Well, okay. Look, she's 31 years old. She's got a 21 year sentence, but she killed her mother. And she killed in, you know, horrific situation. She, you know, she's very unpopular because of what she did, and other prisoners don't like her. And she's also autistic as well, so it makes it hard for her to deal with others. And she, you know, misunderstands what people are doing and that sort of stuff. So next time, you know, somebody says something to her that she doesn't like or misinterprets, the next time she's fighting with them and pulling hair. But she's actually, you know, pretty solid woman, and she pulls her out, right? And so a number of people are, ooh, and they're punching on with her and kicking her and spitting on her and all that sort of stuff. So we've actually made a point of going in beside her and making sure she's got some support, because we don't want to see anyone crushed. You know, we don't want to see anyone, whether it's an unpopular prisoner or whoever it is in the prison system. We want to make sure that we protect the person who's the least able to protect themselves, because we're protecting everyone in the same process. So that's why we're in beside this particular woman. And what we're also driving is because she's so unpopular and so many people are watching to kick her and wanting to give her a hard time, we're actually using that media interest in her to push through the entitlement for her to receive counselling. Right, so we're saying, well, okay, we've got a doctor, specialist doctor, who's able to give her free counselling in her cell, right? And then corrective services no, they won't do it. They say no, sorry, we're already offering counselling. They say no, sorry, you're not.
Oh,
yeah.
So just to clarify, so you're saying that she and a lot of other inmates are not allowed to have external psychologists coming in.
That's it. In this
and
case,
that's
just a doctor.
That's what you're saying?
Yes. And so we're talking about a specialist doctor, right, coming in, and well, not even coming in. In this situation, what we're really trying to do is not have a person coming in, because, you know, you can't have doctors running in and out and paying for them, and that doesn't work. But what does work is when you have a computer in the cell, right, as we have right through New South Wales, we won that one. So every prisoner in New South Wales has access to a computer tablet, and they can actually then talk in their cells. And can see what is the website, and they can also potentially do video calls. So we're trying to drive that one through behind the counselling issue, right? And so people can eventually will be able to talk to their children from inside their cells. And
so basically, Brett, it's quite challenging and distressing, isn't it? Because this woman can't have counselling support to help her adjust to her sentence.
That's
and
it, exactly
both personal
right.
and social well-being.
Yep,
and I think what is really saying, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is that Justice Health has not supported her request and that of her doctor. And it's quite disgusting, isn't it, that the division of responsibilities in custody, Justice
exactly
Health does not have the authority to prove access to external providers.
Well, it's the truth of it, it does have access, it does have an obligation.
But they say they don't, right?
Well, they're trying to dodge that. And you see, our job is actually to hold them to account. So if necessary, we'll run a court case. We can do that. We've got lawyers to help us and that sort of stuff. So we'll challenge them. It's not going to... This is just the first blow. And quite often having a refusal is a good way to start, because then we can go, right, we know what we're fighting, we know what the issues are, and we come in behind that. So that actually adds to our strength. So now we're going to take them on, and what we're doing at the moment is doing a presentation in front of their conference. So they're talking, Justice Health is talking to each other. They've got all these professionals coming in and experts coming from overseas at their conference, and we're going to be sitting right in the middle of it and saying, well, you people are not serious about health. because health is an obligation to the patient. The patient, and you all should be hovering around the patient, not around a collective services. You have an obligation to have a patient-centred approach. And that's what it's about. So we're actually driving that forward, and we are right. You're correct, and we'll get support in the process as well. And this is one of our thrusts, but it's an important one.
Yeah. Well, this is actually a really important topic, and I'm hoping we can stay in touch. And we will, because we always do.
Absolutely.
So you can let me know how you go with it. So basically, you've written the submission, Justice Action has prepared a submission for the conference, or will it be looked at before that?
That's right. Look, it's ongoing. You know, we put it straight through back to Justice Health and said, look, this is what we're going to be presenting. This is where it sits publicly, but we'll also be pushing in from behind as well, and through our allies. So we have, as I say, we have the entitlement of this particular woman. She's legally entitled to have the same health services as if she were in the general community. It's as simple as that. So we'll be pushing this. Not just publicly, but also legally, and we'll be taking a whole range of different levels on it, but this is our opening salvo in the situation.
Absolutely. Any final comments that you want to make, Brett?
Yes, look, I guess, talking particularly for Victorian prisoners, we're talking regularly to people who are in Barwon and some of the other prisons, and we can see that there are computers coming in slowly. There really are. Access to telecommunications is a little way off, but it's not far away. So we intend to make sure we link up to our Victorian brothers and sisters, and hopefully we'll have messaging and that sort of thing in place very shortly.
Brett, it's so lovely to have you. And as I said, on this show, we always have people, and you know, from various organisations and important organisations coming on to do updates. I mean, you've also had lived experience of prison, and Justice Action has been going for a long time.
Well, absolutely. We make a point of linking our history back to the beginning of the penal colony. So we see a lot of those the heroes from right back there when the invaders came in. Right, we had the numbers. Unfortunately, when it came to the English bringing in the convicts, well, in fact, there were more convicts than there were redcoats. So there we are. We had the majority when the invasion came in, and we're going back to that history and talking about that as well as part of the heritage of Australia itself.
Right. But the conference is actually happening in July, isn't it?
It is, that's right. Now, there'll
You'll
be quite
be
a few things before then.
As well.
Absolutely. There'll be a lot of blood and feathers flying before that happens.
Yeah. Brett, thank you so much for coming on the program, and we do need to keep fighting this battle and advocating for prisoners to have external counselling because they need to have that privacy. It's a brutal system in there, isn't it? People don't want to talk to, this is a language warning, but inverted commas, screws.
Yes.
They don't want to talk to people that are outside. Privacy.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, look, we expect that we're going to have the support of the health profession, and we expect it and we demand it. So that's the basis on which we're working in this particular area.
Lovely to have you, Brett.
Thank you, Marissa. Lovely to speak with you again.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air. Help us celebrate 50 years. Subscribe.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
Melbourne Food and Wine Festival hosts Feast for Freedom with the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre for one night only. Join us for an exclusive communal dining experience at the ASRC's Home of Hope in Footscray on Wednesday the 25th of March. Share a long table feast created by refugee chefs from Palestine and Sri Lanka. Celebrate incredible food and help raise vital funds for people seeking asylum. Tickets are limited. Book now at feastforfreedom.org.au www.asylumseekerresourcecentre.org/MFWF. Feast for Freedom is an initiative of the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre, a 3CR supporter.
Anarchism 2026 is a public one-day conference hosted by the Anarchist Communist Federation coming up on March 7 at Ballumballum Place. Join us for a day of talks, panels and discussions exploring anarchist ideas, working class history and today's political landscape, as well as real organising lessons from on the ground. Tune in for such great sessions. We're talking fascism and anti-fascism, oppression and class liberation, rank and file interventions in our unions, the struggle for Palestine, BLF, green bans and the climate crisis, and that perennial favourite, Marxism and anarchism. Are they in fact in opposition, or might we argue something else? So if you're interested in a one-day conference on anarchism, check out Anarchism 2026, Saturday the 7th of March at Ballumballum Place in Brunswick. Tickets are available at ancomfed.org, that is ancomfed.org. The Anarchist Communist Federation is a 3CR supporter. 'Cause baby, I'm an anarchist, you're a
spineless liberal. And you're listening to the Do and Time Show, 3CR, and it's approximately 4:36, and you just heard interviews from David Glance and Brett Collins. But in the meantime, I wanted to issue a content warning that I'm going to be playing some audio from the recent Invasion Day rally on the 26th of January 2026. And this rally took place in Melbourne. And it's going to be just a snippet of audio, a very powerful speech from April Day, who's the daughter of Tanya Day, who was a death in custody and died at St Vincent's Hospital on the 22nd of December 2017, and I wanted to honour her death. And, yeah, the Do and Time Show does look at building the movement to stop Aboriginal deaths in custody, and I wanted to actually play this audio. So we will be bringing you this audio shortly.
Thank you, everybody. Can we please give another round of applause for Tani and Mariki? They both have been pivotal to community organising. Yep. Should be all right. In the state of Victoria and across Australia, especially in the movement of Aboriginal deaths in custody. As Mariki mentioned, I am April Day. I'm Yorta Yorta, Wemba Wemba, and Brapa Brapa. I am the founding executive officer of the Dandjawa Foundation, who supports families who have had their loved ones killed by police and in prison. And I founded the Dandjawa Foundation after the death of my mum, Tanya Day, died in custody in 2017. Shame. Mum was arrested on a V-Line train while she was asleep. She was asleep. She was approached by a V-Line conductor, Sharon Irvine, and she was labelled unruly. Shame. Is it that she was unruly or is that she is black? Because that woman was asleep. She was not bothering anybody. She was getting from one destination to another, and that was a three-hour train ride. You cannot tell me that half that train that's full of white fellas does not sleep on that service. And how many of them do you think have been arrested and died in custody? Shame. Shame. She was arrested for public drunkenness. She was thrown in a police cell and left to die alone on a cold concrete floor. And to this day, no justice, no accountability, and the decriminalisation is nothing but something that is overdue for over 30 years. Shame. That discriminatory law killed our uncle, Harrison Day, over 30 years ago. His death was examined in the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody. And out of those 339 recommendations, little to none have been implemented. And the ones that have fallen through. There's no community infrastructure, there's no funding, there's no Aboriginal governance and oversight. Shame. It's frustrating standing here every year because I say the same thing every time. I don't want to get up there and spin the same yarn. I don't want to get up there and repeat myself. But it's a heartbreaking reminder that nothing has changed in this colony in the fight for Aboriginal deaths in custody. My mother was a proud Aboriginal woman, and if she was here today, she would be marching with us. She was a loved grandmother of eight and a beloved community member, and her life mattered. And her death, like hundreds of others in this country, was not only a tragedy, but it was an injustice. Next year, it will mark 10 years since my mother died in custody, and to know that our people are still dying at alarming rates is honestly scary. Shame. And today I want to honour those that we've lost in custody, hold space for the families that have been left behind, and it's about standing with one another in grief, in strength, but most importantly, in resistance. Because Invasion Day, as every other speaker that has stood before you today has said, it is not just one day a year for us, it is every day. It's alive in the prisons, in the police cells and the watch houses, it's in the courts and the coronial system, and it's alive in every system that criminalizes our people instead of caring for them. And it's alive every single time our mob are met with violence and force instead of safety. When we talk about deaths in custody, we're not talking about numbers and statistics, we're talking about people that are deeply loved. Now, I've only got about 60 seconds left and we're not on Blackfella time, so I'll quickly say, showing up for your families is the most important thing that you can do. It's about showing up at court when they need you, it's about signing a petition, it's about donating, it's about meal trains, it's about making sure that their loved one's memory, their name and their story is not forgotten. Yeah? No justice, no peace, no racist police. No justice, no peace, no racist police. All right, thank you.
And you just heard some audio from the recent Invasion Day rally in Melbourne on the 26th of January 2026. And that was April Day giving a very powerful speech. If you are a First Nations listener and need someone to talk to, you can call 13 Yarn on 139276 or Yarning Safe and Strong on 1-800-959-5634. And we'll just go into some announcements or possible music.
Did you know that 3CR first went to air in 1976? That's right, we're turning 50 this year.
Right from the start, we prioritised progressive voices, First Nations issues, local music, alternative perspectives and truth-telling.
50 years on, it's clear that independent, local media continues to be vital and that there's a strong need for media that shines a light on injustice and gives voice to a vision for a better world.
Are you a current subscriber? We really need you. Subscribe today and help us celebrate 50 years on air.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03-9419-8377.
Woman business in the home. na 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 na.
Back with the Doin' Time Show, and this is a, you just heard a song by Ruby Hunter called Unfinished Business, and Ruby Hunter is a wonderful First Nations musician. We're nearing the end of our show, it's approximately 4:46, and I wanted to actually read out a media release, and I touched on this media release when I was talking to David Glantz from the Refugee Action Collective during our first interview, and I thought that I would actually read this out to listeners just so that everybody is up to speed with what's going on with refugees and asylum seekers. And this is from the Refugee Action Coalition in Sydney. Refugee Action Coalition put out a media release on the 27th of the 2nd, 2026. Human rights overboard as Labor tries to forcibly deport Afghan asylum seeker. Travel advice regarding Iran says, we continue to advise, do not travel to Iran and leave Iran as soon as possible. But on Thursday afternoon, the 26th of the 2nd, 2026, Border Force officers seized an Afghan asylum seeker, Nadish, not his real name, took him to Sydney Airport in an attempt to force him back to Iran. Nadish, who had travelled on an Afghan passport with a sponsored visa, arrived in Australia from Iran on Sunday, the 22nd of February. His brother, an Afghan refugee and an Australian citizen, waited for him at the arrival's gate, but he never emerged. Inside the airport, Border Force officers had cancelled Nadish's visa. Nadish was then detained and taken to a designated place of detention at a hotel in Parramatta. Despite numerous requests to seek asylum in Australia, he was ignored and on Thursday was taken to the airport. Only desperate last-minute legal intervention prevented his deportation to danger. He was returned to Villawood Detention Centre around 1 a.m. Friday morning, the 27th of the 2nd, 2026, after a hastily convened Home Affairs interview at the airport. These airport visa cancellations must stop, said Ian Rintel, spokesperson for the Refugee Action Coalition. Just like boat turnarounds at sea, Labor is trying to turn asylum seekers around at airports. Labor is trashing their human rights. Asylum seekers have a right to make a protection claim. The idea that it was safe to send Nadish is farcical. It is Labor's eternal shame that they are blindly following Donald Trump, who, despite his military threats against Iran, has deported around 120 Iranians since September last year. Trump's current preparations to bomb Iran are well known, and I have to say that that has now happened. Well, not by Trump, but with US backing. It is also well known that Afghans are not safe in Iran or Afghanistan. The Iranian government has been expelling hundreds of thousands of Afghans back to Afghanistan. Labor has an obligation under the Refugee Convention to properly consider all asylum claims. It must end the turnarounds and also end its policy of indefinite offshore detention. And I thought I'd actually read out that media release just to highlight to listeners that, you know, asylum seekers and refugees have gross violations of human rights. And I wanted to really clarify what I meant in that first interview with David Glance, because everything is interconnected. So now we'll go to another announcement.
What if one meal could change someone's life? Host a feast for freedom this autumn at your home, workplace, or in your community, and cook delicious recipes shared by our hero cooks from Palestine and Sri Lanka. Bring people together over food and raise vital funds to support people seeking asylum. Register now and host your feast by the 30th of April at feastforfreedom.org.au. Feast for Freedom is an initiative of the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre, a 3CR supporter.
Tune in for a special broadcast on March the 5th, 2 p.m. for Dissociative Identity Disorder Awareness Day 2026. This year, we will be continuing our conversations on dissociation and complex trauma with the theme of navigating medical systems. Dissociative disorders and complex trauma are highly stigmatized in society, and seeking professional help is no exception. Join me, Amy Ciara, and other people living with dissociative disorders and complex trauma, and our stories of what it's like navigating medical systems. That's right here on 3CR Community Radio. March the 5th, 2 p.m.
Tune into 3CR's annual International Women's Day broadcast.
On Sunday the 8th of March, we'll be bringing you 24 hours of women's news, views and music.
Talking, a gender analysis of contemporary issues.
Gardening.
Peace and disarmament.
Workplace struggles and the union movement.
Strong women self-advocates with disability.
Environmental justice and direct action.
Why animal advocacy is a feminist issue.
Indigenous women's struggles fighting assimilation and land expropriation.
The modern history of female gender diversity.
Celebrating 21 years of Out of the Pan.
And delving into our archives.
To pay tribute to 3CR's 50 years of radical women's voices on the airwaves.
From midnight Saturday on the 7th of March until midnight Sunday on the 8th of March, we'll bring you 24 hours of radio by women presenters, producers and musicians.
For details, go to 3cr.org.au/IWD2026.
Korn Karapana Jyotidis OAM overcame his traumatic childhood of racism, bullying and loneliness to help create one of Australia's largest and best-loved human rights organisations, the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre, which has transformed the lives of thousands of refugees and has helped build a movement. On Sunday, March 15 in Clifton Hill, Korn will join Patrina Barson, Director of the Centre for Compassionate Society, in a conversation about compassion in action. This is a rare opportunity to hear Korn share not just about the issues facing refugees and asylum seekers, but about himself. What inspires, energizes, challenges and sustains him in his work? Find out more and register through centreforcompassionatesociety.net. A 3CR supporter.
And you're listening to the Doin' Time Show, and this is Marissa, 3CR Community Radio, Melbourne, 855 AM on the dial. And we're nearing the end of our show, and I wanted to thank David Glance and Brett Collins for coming onto the show. And I feel like that this particular broadcast was not only dedicated to Aboriginal deaths in custody, but also specifically also to refugees and asylum seekers. And it's so important to keep that issue alive. There's just so much inequalities and violation of human rights that it's always important to keep this media alive. And we are our own media, and please also subscribe to 3CR as well. I know that the month of February is over, and but it always is important to remind listeners to subscribe to this very, very important radio station. So it's approximately 4:54, and we're going to be going out pretty soon with our theme song, Black Fella, White Fella by the Rumpy Band. Stay tuned every Monday from from 4 to 5 for the Doin' Time show. Oh, and also I just wanted to say also that I played that audio as well. You heard that audio from Invasion Day, from April Day as well. So stay tuned, take care of each other, and keep up the good work, everybody. Thanks so much. Bye.
As long as you a true fella, as long as you a real fella. All the people of different races with different lives in different places, it doesn't matter what your name is, we got to have lots of changes. We need more brothers if we're to make it, we need more sisters if we're to save it. Are you the one who's gonna stand up and be counted? Are you the one who's gonna be there when we're shouting? Are you the one who's always ready with a helping hand? Are you the one who understands this family plan? Black fella, white fella, a yellow fella, any fella, it doesn't matter what your color, as long as you a true fella. All the people of different races with different lives in different places, it doesn't matter which religions, it's all the same. Where the ship is sinking, we need more brothers if we can make it. We need more sisters, if we can save it. Are you the one who's gonna stand up and be counted? Are you the one who's gonna be there when we shout it? Are you the one who's always ready with a helping hand? Are you the one who understands this family plan?
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.